The scripture reading this morning will be taken from 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure.
It's good to see all of you here this morning.
This morning's reading here in 1 John chapter 3 is just a beautiful announcement, a beautiful reminder of what we are blessed to be because of what God has made possible through His Son. And that which has been demonstrated by the actions of God speaks to us very loudly about how much we are worth to Him. What does great love look like? Maybe you can recall in your own life demonstrations of great love that have been shown to you, what people have done. You know, we understand that love is more than words. It is a way of both being and it's a way of doing. We know 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 down through verse 7, speak of the nature of love, what it is. We have in the Scriptures the words in 1 John 3 and verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. When you think about examples of great love, not just spoken, expressed, but demonstrated, shown by action, we can think of various things that were done. There is an account in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 29, we know that Jacob, we're told, loved Rachel. How much did he love her? He said to Laban, her father, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. The Bible tells us there in verse 20, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Great love will motivate us to do great things for those that we love. And great love will cause us to not see any sort of great sacrifice that we are making, because that love causes us to have a perspective that trivializes the things that we might have to do, because our focus is on others and how much we care about them, how much we love them. In our text here in 1 John chapter 3, the Holy Spirit cries out to us through John to consider the kind of love that God has for us. He shows us here in this text, verses 1 through 3, our identification. We are children of God. He speaks about our transformation in that we will be made like unto Him one day. And he then in verse 3 talks about our purification because of what we are, because of the fact that we are God's children and we have this great hope. We purify ourselves. We're going to look at these things as we talk together this morning about the love that God has demonstrated toward us, beginning with this idea in verse 1 concerning our identification, because what we are is linked to the love of God and what He has done for us. The Holy Spirit through John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. See, John has been urging Christians to live according to the ways of God. That's something we have to do because of the fact that we are God's children. If you back up at the end of chapter 2, and now, little children, verse 28, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. It's a manner of living. Here we are, so blessed, he says, to consider the degree and the kind of love that God has had for us in that He has made us His children. God has adopted us into His family. This is not just saying, I'm not going to punish you, I'm going to forgive you. This is not just saying, I'm going to bless you with great blessings one day. This is an identity that we take on because of the love of God for us, that we are His children. We are adopted into the family of God. God's love is that great. Consider other passages that speak on this magnitude of God's love and the kind of love that He has had. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, tells us, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Here is the love of God for humanity. Sometimes you might hear of someone laying down their life. Typically it's for someone they know, someone who means a lot to them. They'll put their life on the line. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes people are willing to do that, demonstrate that magnitude of God, love. But God, we're told, demonstrates a love that goes beyond that because He has given His Son and Christ laid down His life for those in this world who persist in sin, hoping that a recognition of what God has done for us and the great love that God has shown for us will move, motivate, soften hearts, that the love of God, His goodness, would move us to repentance, that we might be recipients of this great love. This is the love demonstrated by God, not just spoken, though He does speak of His love, but shown in what He has done, in the manner in which He has shown us this love, we see how great it is. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So He has sacrificed His Son. He has made us His children. That implies a number of things. If we are children of God, then He is our Father. And that makes us heirs. Children are heirs of what their fathers or mothers will pass on to them. God has something to give to us. Peter writes of that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, that we are heirs of God. There are things that await us because of what we are. Therefore, we should live in such a fashion as to be children of God. We all know John 3:16 that speaks of the great love of God. But there is also Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Paul says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." All of this relates to what he says there in verse 4, His great love. The great love with which He has loved us. His Son laid down His life. The sacrifice has made possible our reconciliation to God. We are a people redeemed, as we sing, by the blood of the Lamb. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 reminds us, "In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Christ was the one who appeased the wrath of God, made atonement for us. We see what God has done to bring us to His side, to make us His children. This is the manner of love that God has shown to us. So our identification is linked clearly to the love that God has had for us, making possible this adoption, so that we have this blessing of knowing that we are children of God. And thus we have a caring, loving Father who watches over us throughout our lives. Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always." God says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God is our Father. But being children of God, that identification also links us to the rejection that we will experience in this life. Because we are His, we will be rejected by the world as He was rejected. The Son of God was sent into this world, and though this one was the loving Prince of Peace, the one who said, "I just wanted Jerusalem to call you and gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't have it," Christ had love, but He was rejected. And Jesus explains that the rejection that He experienced will also be experienced by those who are of Him, like Him, who are His. Here in 1 John chapter 3, we see there, at the latter part of verse 1, we are children of God, therefore, for this reason, the world doesn't know us, because it did not know Him. John speaks often with this word, know, in this epistle that he writes. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 3, he says, "By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." To know God is to recognize who He is and to submit to Him. We know that we know God if we keep His commandments. He who says, "I know Him," and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. The world, we're told, does not know Him. It doesn't recognize Him. It doesn't submit to Him. The world, in a similar fashion, doesn't know the people of God. The world does not know us. It doesn't recognize us as God's people. It doesn't recognize what we say because it doesn't listen to God. And therefore, the things that we teach and the things that we stand for by the world, these things are not acknowledged for what they are. But that's okay, because we are known by God, and we can know that we know Him, and we can know that we are in Him, that we are His children. We can have that assurance. But we're told, realize, that the world, for the most part, doesn't know us because it doesn't know Him. This world is a world of darkness. It requires great perseverance. It requires that faith that will see us through the trying times, the rejection, the persecution, the hardships that we face. But here's the thing. What we need to remember is the promise that God has made to us. Because we are children of God, there is hope of something. Because of our identification, there's hope of a transformation that He speaks of here in verse 2 that's going to take place. The first thing He mentions is what we know, what we do already realize, and that is that we are the children of God. We are His. We belong to Him because of what has happened. Cleansed by the blood of Christ, brought into the family of God. So verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the children of God." Presently, we are within that body. We are saved. We belong to Him. those who walk with God will not be snatched from His hand. The devil cannot take us from God. It is within our own will to either walk with Him faithfully or turn away from Him. But here's the thing that we are assured of. We are, and we know that we are God's children. But then, He speaks of this. He says, continuing there in verse 2, "And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." So, there are some things relating to this transformation that are hidden. That is, what we are going to be. We don't have a full revelation about what we are going to be one day in terms of that nature that we will take on that will be immortal. Right now, we are clothed with flesh. But flesh is temporary. Flesh is passing. We would like to know more, but our knowledge is limited. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, makes reference to the change that will occur. But again, not much is said. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, if our body is killed, what do we have? We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven." That's the body that we'll one day receive. That's what we shall be. But he says, "If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but rather," but he says, "fully further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." So presently we're in a body. In this body we bear burdens, and it's not that we want to be unclothed, as he says, without a body. We want to be further clothed with a body that won't be burdened as this one is now. We want the eternal body. We want immortality. But that's in the future. It's not even fully understood the nature of it. But here's what we are told. Look at the rest of verse 2. "But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." So we know that the nature that we will take on will be like His nature. Because, he says, one day we will see Him as He is. When men saw Christ on this earth, when men looked upon God in the flesh, they didn't see Him as He is. They saw a fleshly manifestation. They saw Christ clothed with a fleshly body. But no man can even behold or look upon God and live. Therefore, we must be like Him in order to be able to see Him as He is. And one day we're told that's what we will be, of a different nature. We will be like Him. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will do what? Will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." So one day, we're told again, there's a transformation Christ is able to work, making us like Him. Whatever that is, this glorious nature that we will take on is promised to us because of our identification. We are children of God because of the great love with which God has loved us, because of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We will have this new identity. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 speaks of when this will occur, and he had made reference to the different nature of things. There are celestial bodies, there are terrestrial, there's There's the flesh of animals of different kinds, and there's that of man. And he says then, in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So, one day, what we have, what we will be clothed with, the transformation will be from one to the other. We will one day be incorruptible, glorified. We will be powerful. We will be spiritual in nature. There is a transformation, glorious in nature, putting on that which will be never taken off, that will enable us to live and dwell in the presence of God, see Him as He is, and inherit the mansions that have been prepared for us because we are loved by God. And then the final thing we notice is verse 3. And everyone who has this hope, the hope of being transformed and made like Him, if you have that hope because you are His, what? Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Because we have such hope, we must, while we are here in this life, purify ourselves. This indicates there's an action that we must take that is ongoing in nature. The Greek indicates that here. The word purification is in the present tense. It's an ongoing action. We continually purify ourselves. We were washed by the blood of Christ. But even as we walk in the light, there will be times that we stumble in sin. We must turn away from that sin. We must not be drawn by the enticement of sin. And instead, we must see it for what it is, turn away from it, acknowledge our sins, turn back to God. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us. Purification is an ongoing process. If we want to be like Him one day, taking on that glorious nature, we must live like Him every day, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, living that pure, holy, separated life, not like the world, but rather like the Father and like His Son. Colossians chapter 3, verses 4 and following describe to us the way that we are called to put to death our members which are on the earth, to live that resurrected life, to be pure before God because of the fact that we are God's people. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. He speaks about the future. One day He's coming back. You'll appear with Him in that same glorious nature. That's what we referred to back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be changed. We'll be like Him. But notice what He says after He says that. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And He lists all the various sins that human beings so often fall prey to. We must live that purified life so that we can be glorified with Him. That's absolutely essential. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Titus 2, 11 and 12. And that purification, you notice the very last phrase there in chapter 3, verse 3. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. This is a purification that is patterned after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He resisted temptation. He submitted to God's will. Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, Jesus by the devil tempted. It is written. He always sought to do His Father's will. And that's how we can walk in the ways of purity and holiness, knowing that God reveals to us the way that leads us to heaven. that makes us children of God, the way that enables us to live so that we can be transformed one day and be like Him. A life of purification. Behold, what manner of love. God's children are certainly the most blessed people in all the world. You today sit here as children of God with a hope that can see you through whatever is still coming in the future, no matter how dark or difficult it may be. Because Paul reminds us, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We, walking with Him, have the assurance that one day we'll either be raised, a transformed being, or we'll be present when He appears in the heavens, and in a moment just like that, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll take on His glorious nature. And that's all possible because of what He has done and what He has called us to be, a purified people, walking according to the ways of God. If that life is not one that you've begun yet, your life can be initially purified by obedience to God's plan of salvation, His plan, which involves faith, believing that His Son is, in fact, the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acknowledging that sin is not a way we can continue in, but we must repent of that way, change our hearts to be following God and forsaking sin. Confessing our faith in Jesus Christ is also part of God's plan, as is immersion in water, baptism, to where our sins are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can do that this morning, or you can learn more, because we'd be happy to study with you about those things. But if you're already a child of God and you need to return to your Lord, if your life is not as pure as it needs to be and you need to come home to your Father, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.